We're blessed to be back here again and to be with you in worship. I've got my two oldest girls here with me. My wife had to take our youngest to the hospital this morning. She's an asthmatic, and I solicit your prayers, but we trust that the Lord will take care of all that as well. Amen. And I love Christmas. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy Christmas. It's a time of families getting together and people meeting, and we celebrate the Savior's birth. Amen. And it's fascinating to me how every year I have to have the same conversation with somebody over and over again. Well, you know, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Well, I don't know what day he was born on. And quite frankly, I don't care. I just think it's important to celebrate the day he was born. Amen. Let's give God a hand praise for that. So we're grateful for all that he's done. And it has been a challenging year for us. Amen. We have experienced some difficulties, but the good news is the Lord has allowed us to remain faithful in spite of those difficulties. Amen. Amen. And I am just ever so grateful for the privilege of gathering together with his people and worshiping. But let's turn to the book of Isaiah. I have been praying and wrestling with the message for this particular Sunday. This is the last Sunday of 2010. We're going to Isaiah chapter 43. And a while back, I was blessed and privileged. The Lord put it on Rocky's heart to asked me to do the sermon a while back, and I preached from this chapter, but it was from the first 12 verses a while back. And I want to call your attention to the 14th through the 19th verses. I believe the Lord has put this on my heart to share with you. Amen? When you get there, would you please say, praise the Lord? Amen. And I am reading from the New King James Bible. Amen. The very Bible that Isaiah himself used. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I know what y'all think. Al, we knew you were conservative, but we didn't know you were that conservative. No. All right. Isaiah 43 here. We want to begin in verse 14. We want to go all the way down to verse 21. To kind of get the entire context here. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. As we stand here this last Sunday of the year 2010, and we look forward to 2011, I'm reminded of the fact that January has been named after the ancient god of Rome, whose name was Janus. And those of you who are familiar with Roman mythology understand that Janus was often depicted as having two faces. He had one face that was pointed towards the past, and he had another face that was pointed towards the future. That's why the first month of the year is known as January. And although we do not worship the god Janus, amen, we must acknowledge and recognize that we stand upon the precipice of a new year. And as we look forward to all the wonderful things that God has done, that God will do in 2011, we have to at the same time look backwards and recognize all of the great things that God has done in the year 2010. And perhaps you have experienced some struggles in 2010. Perhaps you have dealt with some challenges in the year 2010. And surely you understand that the Lord has been gracious and been kind enough to allow you to make it through those challenges, to make it through those struggles, whether they be struggles with your health, or struggles with your finances, or struggles with your families. Irregardless of what those struggles may have been, God has been good and allowed us all to make it through those struggles. But when we look forward to the year 2011 and we recognize that we have just celebrated the Christmas season, we have just celebrated the fact that God became a man and clothed himself in human flesh and entered into the world that we live in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Israel, we have to acknowledge the fact that we need to be prepared for the challenges that we will face in the year 2011. And when I look at Isaiah chapter 43, I recognize that God has given us some precious principles that we can apply for the year 2010 and look forward to in the year 2011. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them down, all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. My brothers and my sisters, if you and I are going to be prepared to deal with the challenges of 2011, you and I have got to recognize, first of all, the grace of Almighty God. The people of Israel, they had gotten themselves in a set of predicaments that they could not control. They got themselves in a set of circumstances that they had to deal with. That is, they decided they wanted to quit worshiping Almighty God. They decided they would no longer keep the covenant that God had made with their forefathers. And they decided they were going to be idolaters. They decided that they were going to do ungodly things. Therefore, God raised up his preachers, God raised up his prophets and said, listen, quit worshiping these false gods. Quit bowing down to these gods that really are not gods and worship the true and the living God. Worship the God who created the heavens and the earth. But they didn't want to listen. Therefore, God decided that he would punish his people. And the way he decided to punish his people was by raising up a foreign nation called the Babylonians and allowing those Babylonian people to conquer Israel, to conquer Judah and allow them to go into slavery. And here in Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible says that God is going to go into Babylon and he's going to straighten those boys out in Babylon. He's going to whip their tails, if you will. And he's going to allow his people to come back to the Holy Land and live lives of purity in the presence of Almighty God. My brothers and my sisters, if that's not grace, I don't know what is. You see, they got to Babylon because they messed up. They got to Babylon because they did wrong in the sight of Almighty God. They got to Babylon because they had sinned against the Lord. When I look back over the year 2010, I recognize that I've had some Babylonian experiences in my life because I've done wrong before the Lord. I recognize that I got myself in a set of circumstances because I did not obey the Lord's voice in certain circumstances. But consequently, God has given me grace and he's allowed me to come out of those circumstances, and I bless his name for that. As you sit here in the last Sunday of 2010, I understand that you've had some Babylonian experiences as well. And you have got to recognize that it was God's grace that allowed you to come this far. Just like the people of Isaiah's day, just like the people that Isaiah was preaching to, in the same way that God would deliver them, He has delivered you and I. As we stand here on the last Sunday of 2010, and we look forward to going into the year 2011, we have to recognize and realize the grace of Almighty God. My brothers and my sisters, I didn't come here deliberately to sound like a Baptist preacher. But forgive me for just a few moments. Because I believe that it is our responsibility to remind each other that it was grace that brought us this far. And it will be grace that leads us on this last Sunday of 2010. Looking forward to going into the year 2011, we have to recognize the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that it's the grace of God that even allowed us the privilege of making mistakes in His sight? That's grace. Because the Lord could have made us little robots. I will do your will, Jesus. I will do your will, Jesus. No, no. It was grace that He gave us a mind to make our own decisions. If we're going to make it next year, we've got to acknowledge the grace of God. Look at verse 18. The Bible says in verse 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Can I read that again? Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Listen, first of all, not only must we recognize the grace of God, but secondly, we must realize that the past is gone. Right or wrong, good or bad, or even indifferent, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. The question is, what are we going to do with this day? We've got to realize that the past is gone. It is no more. You can't go back in time and fix the stuff that you messed up. You can't go back in time and change anything. Isaiah, God tells the people through Isaiah, He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. You know, there are some of us, we hold on to stuff forever. I've pastored churches where, you know, there was people that always sat on this side of the sanctuary because they didn't want to go on that side of the sanctuary because there was somebody that did something wrong to them 20 years ago. And they are so afraid that if they go to that side of the sanctuary, they're going to have to deal with that person. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. Walking around angry and mad about stuff that happened 20 years ago, 10, 15, let it go. God told the people, do not remember the former things. Amen? And then there are those of us who are holding each other hostage because we think the past was always better than the way it is right now. You ever met people like that? Oh, I remember when. I remember the good old days. My wife tells me I do that all the time, but it's okay when I do it. Okay. Just understand that. That's right. I know what you're thinking. Al, you're living in denial. Yes, I am. I'm living in denial. The truth of the matter is, if you take an honest look at the good old days wasn't so good after all. Let the past go. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. There's a passage in the New Testament, I know you know it. It says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Pastor Bob quoted that passage of scripture in the baptism. He says, you know, you've been raised to newness of life. Whatever sins you've committed this year in the year 2010, you know what? All you have to do is confess those sins to the Lord, and He just wipes the slate clean. What a God we serve. That's cause for rejoicing right there. Now, my wife is not here so I can talk about her. Praise the Lord. I remember one day we were having not an argument, because, you know, my wife and I, we don't have arguments. Right. Gary, we have exchanges of information. You know how that works, don't you? right? You say what you want to say in a heated argument. She says what she wants to say in a heated argument. We exchange information. Amen. And I never will forget. I was saying whatever it was I was saying. And then my wife said, well, Al, I remember went back that time when you did. Wait a minute. Stop. Why are you bringing up old stuff? Amen. That's what we do. And I do that to her too, but you know, don't tell her though. You know? Right? Yes. You and I have got to come to a place where we let the past go. Look at verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Yes. You and I have got to remember the promise of God. God has given us some wonderful promises. He's given us some awesome promises. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Listen, God's people were in bondage. They were in trouble because they got themselves in that mess. Our country, we're in the situation that we're in right now because we got ourselves in this mess. Amen? Right? You know, it's fascinating how you meet people and, you know, you talk to the Democrats and the Democrats will tell you it's the Republicans' fault. Boy, if those Republicans would get on the boat and move to Spain somewhere, everything would be all right. And then you talk to Republicans and the Republicans say, oh, it's all the Democrats' fault. If we could just get rid of those Democrats, everything would just be fine. No. It's our fault. We got ourselves into this mess. We need to quit blaming the other person and just take responsibility for what's going on. But the blessing is we've got a promise from Almighty God. Behold, I will do a new thing. That's awesome. That is a wonderful thing. Why not go into the new year thinking, you know what, Lord, I'm looking forward to you doing new things in my family, new things in my job, new things in my neighborhood, new things in the church where I go and I serve. New things, Lord. Yes, we've all got relatives who are a challenge to deal with. Can I say it that way? You know what I mean? Right? Or let me say it this way. We got relatives that just get on our nerves. Right? When they call, you look at the phone, oh, man, I need to deal with you. Right? Oh, y'all don't have relatives like that? Oh, I thought so. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Let's look for the Lord to do new things in their lives. Amen. Let's look for the Lord to do new things in their hearts. That's how we should go into the new year. We need to hold on to God's precious promises. I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but let me tell you what my favorite promise is in the Bible. Psalm 91. And you guessed it, I'm going to quote it from the King James Version. Deal with it. I'm joking, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And in him will I place my trust. That's right. We need to remember the promises of Almighty God. It's the last Sunday of 2010. And we're going into 2011. We need to realize and recognize the promises of God. Let's review here. Number one, we want to recognize the grace of God. Secondly, we want to realize the past is gone. And thirdly, we want to remember the promises of God. And lastly, let's raise our hands in praise. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, the beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. You know why God allowed his people to go into Babylon in the first place? Because they didn't understand that he was a God who wanted to be worshipped. He was a God who wanted to be adored. Right? And he was not going to tolerate his people giving all that adoration and praise to other things. The sun, the moon, the rocks, and all that kind of stuff. That was just not going to happen. So he allowed them to go into bondage. He allowed them to go into slavery for the express purpose of teaching them that they needed to worship and praise him.
As we go into the year 2010, as we reflect on, 2011, as we reflect on all that God has done for us in the year 2010, let's go in with our hands lifted up in praise. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face in 2010, in 2011, but I know this much, I'm going to praise you all the way through it. I don't know what kind of blessings that you have in store for me in the year 2011, but I know I'm going to thank you for it. I don't know what kind of challenges or issues that are going to be in front of me right now, but I am going to go before you with my hands raised up in praise. I'm just going to bow down before you every day of my life. That's right. Why? Because you sent Jesus Christ, your son, to die on the cross for my sins and for the sins of the entire world and be raised up from the dead with all power in his hand. If I don't have any other reason to praise you, God, I can praise you for that, because that's the gospel and that's good news right there. There's a passage in the book of Revelation. It talks about the angels around the throne of God. You know what those angels are doing? They're bowing down. You know what they're saying? Holy? Holy? Holy. Let's go into 2011 with that spirit. Doesn't matter, Lord. I just want to bow down before you and just say holy, because that's who you are. Holy. Lord, I don't care what Barack Obama does. You're still holy. I don't care what Congress does. You're still holy. I don't care what the Republicans do. You're still holy. I don't care what the Democrats do. You're still holy. And Lord, this is a hard one for me. I don't care what the Cowboys do, but you're still holy. Yes, you are. That's right. You're still holy. That's right. That's how we ought to go into the year. Recognizing who God is with hands lifted up in praise. Listen, there may be a person who's here today, as I close, who does not have a relationship with God through Jesus. This is your opportunity. You need to come forward and give your life to the Lord. There may be another person here. You already know the Lord, but you're looking for a fantastic church. Hello? Here we are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This is a fantastic church. Don't get shy on me. Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, clap your hands. Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's right. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to visit with you and talk about Mimosa Lane. This is a wonderful church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit being in this place. We thank you, O God, for all the songs that were sang. We thank you, Lord God, for all the baptisms that took place. We ask, O God, that you'd watch over Rocky and the rest of the staff, O God, who are traveling and on vacation. We pray, O God, that you watch over the rest of the membership, O God, who have gone to different places, oh God, to spend the holidays. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you have done and are doing in our lives. Lord, we bless your name, for it is truly holy. And we take that very, very seriously. In Jesus' name, Lord, and for his sake, amen.